gosh, truly. This is, if you'd like to watch two people just have a slow but short nervous breakdown, this is your ticket. This is your ticket to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love demarcation.
Yes.
Thank you. It is I, Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, before I ask how you are, because we're going to get better at being YouTubers and podcast people. Hi, if you're listening to the audio content and you love our beautiful voices and you want to continue listening to us that way, keep on keeping on. But if you're like, wow, I wish I could stare at their faces, just so you know, we're on YouTube now. Also, if you're joining us on YouTube today, hi, you can see us now. Do all the things you're supposed to do, like, subscribe, tell your friends. I don't know. Those are things I know. Okay. Yeah. Now the housekeeping's out of the way. Michael, how are you?
I'm here.
She's here. It's been a really, as y'all know, we are two American girly pops, and it's been a real couple crazy weeks in our country.
It sure has.
Real jealous of everyone who doesn't live here. Just absolutely jealous. I told Michael Ann right before we started recording that physically I am here, mentally I'm just at a Taylor Swift concert, because if I wasn't, I would go insane. But it's fine. It's fine. We're all going to be fine.
We are. We are.
A lot of TikToks telling me that I should be hopeful, and I'm trying to be hopeful. So same. That is where I'm. What's where I'm at? It's where I'm going. We're just gonna keep on keeping on.
We're just gonna keep on keeping on.
Yes,
we're just gonna fall out of the coconut tree.
We are falling out of coconut trees, y'all. We are. I love all of the. Can I just say I do love all of the friendship bracelets that have already happened with the coconut tree meme and.
Oh, just I love that.
All the different fun things. I do enjoy the Swiftie for Harris movement. That is very cool that just kind of started and took off and has really done a whole thing. But yes. Okay. Now that we, you know, whatever, got political for a minute, but how can you not with the state of the last, it just has to be addressed. Okay. People, it's been a harrowing time.
It has.
Deep breaths though, because we are not in 2024. We are in 2013. The moon and more. We are in Colby, North Carolina, living our best lives, where I don't think anyone in a Saradesanol has ever been stressed out about the state of the world. And I envy them for that. So
me too.
We're just going to live our best lives. Also, housekeeping, if you're someone who only listens to Desin content and doesn't follow us for chaos, we did kind of discuss the fact that we apparently have been saying Emma Line's name wrong. I'm going to be honest, which also has come up in the Discord, which I believe I'm with, like, books belong to their readers, like, just because canon, it was said that whatever you read it, you read it. So I'm going to be honest, I'm probably going to slip up and continue saying Emmeline, because I just think that sounds prettier. No offense to our queen, Sarah Dessen, for the name Emmeline, which is also cute, but I just think Emmeline is pretty. Like, I just like that.
It is.
And it's what we've been saying. So I'm going to be honest. It's probably going to be what I continue to say. But just so you all are aware, I know that that's not the, like, canon correct name or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about that. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, y'all.
I'm sticking with my guns. And we're just going to continue saying Emmeline, because I think that just we're in too deep now.
I agree.
You know? We're in too deep. This is chapters 10 and 11 we're discussing. So we're just going to keep on keeping on with that. I guess we should probably also do a quick That's What You Missed on Glee.
Yes.
Recap Mabobber. Yes. Which is. Okay. So I'm trying to remember what exactly is the last thing that we read. It's been a minute since we have read this book, to be honest.
It has.
Emmeline. Dad, father issues. Luke was being kind of a dick to her because of her phone. She didn't send the text message that she wrote out. They meet up for breakfast at the last chance for me. Anyways, so they meet up there. Basically break up because she finds in his car a note of this number, and he wrote down where she was staying, which means that he definitely contacted her, this, that, and the other thing. And he's all like, we're about to go to college, and I need to go spread this dick. And she's all like, all right, homeboy. He said it a little bit more tactfully than I did, but that's basically the gist of it. Yeah. And he was real not smooth. Then our girl Ivy, and by our girl I mean like kind of, I don't mean our girl because she's intense, but she apparently doesn't like the toaster oven that they have. So Theo, boo.
I was seeing if the
if it'll come up, yes, so people can finally actually see it. Oh man, I usually.
There you go.
I'm excited. That pleases me. So she. Yeah, so toaster oven. Boo. And then, so Theo, of course, has to, like, Emmeline gets involved, and they end up at basically a, like, Sam's Club type thing. I believe it's called Big Club, to be exact. And who do they run into but our boy Clyde? And he agrees to an interview, which is big, big news. They have a little smoochy-smoochy, and Emmeline's all like, oh, my God, I just broke up with Luke. What does this mean? And we are going to dive into that today in chapters 10 and 11. Boop, 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 boop. And that's what you missed on Glee or The Moon and More.
That's what you missed in The Moon and More.
In The Moon and
More. Also, now that we're on video, everyone will see us looking at our books.
Just looking at our books. This is what we do the entire time. Also,
do you see
who the Vassa Piglet? Oh my God!
The Vassa Piglet. I was like, he needs to be in
these
videos.
He needs to be here. Yes, the Vassa Piglet's with us always.
He's with us
always.
I'm
so happy that he's here. Oh, that pleases me.
He's so cute.
That warms the cockles of my heart.
Okay, chapter 10.
Chapter 10.
Chapter 10 starts with Emmeline. I did it, y'all. Going to... Benji and her father's house. Benji has gotten really into magic tricks. He's playing a like pick a card, any card game with Emmeline, and she's kind of like, "What's going on? Like, why did you get this sudden interest in magic?" And he says, "I'm really hard to keep entertained," which is so sad. I really hate the father in these couple chapters. Like, yes. I'm not interested in him at all, which is probably the point, but like, ugh, gross.
I know. Oh, protect Benji at all costs, honestly.
I know. So then she flashes back to when she was in.
This is, yes, the flashback to the kiss at the big club is what happens here. Correct.
Yes, and Theo's apologizing for it. He's like, I can't believe I did that. I'm not that guy. You specifically told me not to kiss you, and you have a boyfriend, and he's freaking out. And he keeps calling himself the guy everyone hates.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be that guy, but then he kind of calls himself that guy. But Emmeline breaks the news to him. She's like, hey, I actually don't have a boyfriend. We broke up today. She's had a very long day. And he was like, that's great news. I'm so happy about this. And yeah, she's like, good times.
Good times. We're so happy we could have these times.
Thank you for these times.
Oh, yeah.
We're fucking drained, y'all. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. We'll do better next week, I promise. Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Talk to me in November. All right. Just kidding. Okay. Yes, I do enjoy his. There's like this little fruit fly flying around, and it's driving me crazy. Anyways, but I enjoy. Believe me, I'm certainly trying to that when he's talking about Luke, he says the line, it's like, I want him to kick my ass. And I swear to you, I don't. I've never been in a fight, like not even once. I love that line so much. I was like, that is hysterical. And also that's, would be something I feel like I would say. Be like, please don't do this. I don't know how to fight. Like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. So that just was very endearing to me. I was like, that's hysterical, honestly. Yeah, he keeps saying that he doesn't want to be the guy that everyone hates. And this is where they talk about the demarcation period, because she literally, like, again, this has been the longest day for our poor girl. And so he was saying, like, okay, well, let's give, you know, you need a breathing time. Like, you need a clean break in between you being not with Luke, who she's been in, you know, a long-term relationship with, her first serious relationship with ever in her life, and then being with him. So she was like, okay, yes. She's like, but like, the problem is like figuring out how to do that. And he said that, she's like, you know, like, we can't like go back. We can't go back to before we bought this toaster oven at the big club and before we ran into Klein or whatever. Like, it has happened. We can't undo these things. And so they're like, okay, well, let's just have like a little waiting period. And this is when they decide that basically the next day, like, we will bridge this topic tomorrow. So this tomorrow plan kind of gets built here in this little bit.
Yes. And then she comes back to reality and she's with Benji again. And she's like trying to tell him there's stuff to do. Like, we're going to have that. You can have fun. And he's like, well, what is fun here? And she's like, well, you can go swimming. And he said, I'm only allowed to be in the sun 2 hours a day. And I have to be accompanied by a responsible adult. And she was like, well, what about riding a bike? And he says, because of my inner ear problems, I have balance issues. I have to stay away from self-propelled wheeled activities.
I love that the child says things like self-propelled wheeled activities. That is adorable. And also like such an old man thing to say.
Also,
and like, I was like, let me get you in touch with our girl, Maggie. I think she can sort you out. I think she can teach you how to ride a self-propelled wheeled activity.
Absolutely. Yeah, so she's like, well, why don't you read? And he's like, that's all I've been doing, that and practicing my balloon twisting. So he's also trying to learn how to make balloon animals. Just impressive. And she said, he's like, but it's noisy. And he says, when they pop, it could give a person a nervous breakdown. So like, yeah. I had to stop and just do the card tricks for a while. He's just like repeating things that his dad is saying to him, which is,
yeah,
like his dad, like, he like just doesn't want to be a dad.
No, not at all. Not at all. He was like, we're going to make this a boys trip and I'm going to take him away from, again, his mom seems like when Leah called, it seems like she, oh no. So when his mom called, when Leah called in the previous chapter, it sounds like she cares about him and misses him and whatever. And I'm like, why the F did dad even bring him along? Like, why did he make this boys trip a thing when clearly it sounds like he doesn't want to be bothered by him? He's all like, don't do your balloons. It's too loud. Don't do this. Don't do that. You can only, you know, like, there's just so many rules and regulations. And he's a kid at summertime. Like, if you sold this to this kid, it's like, oh, it's going to be a boys trip and we're going to go down to the beach and whatever. Make it that. Like, I know he has responsibilities, I know he has to sell this house, but like, you knew that. Like, prioritize better or don't bring your kid along to this trip. Simple as that.
Right. And like later on, I think he says, like, I just had visions of me like working in the day and him and then us like sitting by the fire and reading our perspective books or something. And it's like,
yeah,
perspective books on perspective books. And
or they're books from different perspectives, you know?
I've been binge watching Love Island, and it's incredible. But they use words incorrectly literally all the time. And one of the things that they say all the time is, you're obligated to have your emotions. or you're obligated to have your feelings. And it's like, obligated's not what you're
That's not what you're looking for either. You're obligated to have these.
He's like, listen, you're obligated to have your feelings. And like, they are valid, but also like, look at it from my perspective. You are obligated to have your feelings. They say it all the time. I'm like,
bless them. Bless these poor little Love Island folks. Aww.
Yes. Dumb, beautiful people.
Ugh, the best. The best. Love a good, dumb, beautiful person. I swear. So here we are. He is on some kind of like deadline. And so that Benji says like, oh, that means he's grumpy and stressed. And so this is where the idea is hatched that maybe she could take him out for the day, essentially. So she goes upstairs, tells him to keep practicing, and goes and has like a little chat with her dad or her father real quick. And so her dad, like, again, this is where he's like complaining and telling her, like, you know, this like vision that he had of how this would work. And she's like, I think he's just bored. Like, he's a kid and he's bored. Like, of course he's upstairs bugging. Like, he's just sitting in this old lady's house with nothing to do. Like, of course he's bored. And right. So she basically is like, you know, I would, She basically is like, you know, you need a babysitter. And he's all like, oh, I need a lot of things. And so, you know, this is where, again, she as a teenage girl can see clearer than her dad can. Like, she says to him, he's 10, I pointed out. And he's like, yeah, I know, irritated. And so she's like, anyway, I can go, like, you know. So he asks her about childcare or whatever. And she says there's nothing that she – you know, knows of, but she can go ahead and ask around and stuff. And he just seems so relieved at that offer of like her even just like looking for people to potentially babysit. And so that's again when she kind of decides that she will go ahead and take him for the day. And she also, oh, sorry, go ahead.
If I may. Excuse me. When he says, when Emmeline says, I think he's just bored, the dad replies, which is a first world problem. This piece I'm working on, it's about the African famine. Suffice to say, I have very little sympathy. It's like, okay. But then this is hilarious because later on when he's, you know, like bitching, cause he's like, I have a child and I don't know what to do with it. He's like, it just never ends, all of this stuff I have to do. And she says in her head, unfortunately, at least you're not suffering from the African famine. And I
said it out loud.
I love that. Yeah. There's Sarah again with her little jabs.
So good. That's so good. I know. I love a good petty moment. But it's like, yes, there's always people that are suffering more in the world, but that doesn't mean that his first world problems or whatever are not. And again, like even kids that are, you know, are struggling more also suffer from boredom. Like that's, you know, like, and that's right. An actual very universal thing. Everyone suffers from that from time to time. It's not like people that are struggling are constantly thinking about their struggles. You know what I mean? Like they're still like, people trying to get through the day and trying to find entertainment, which is why I hate it when people are like, I don't understand, this person's on food stamps, are they gonna afford a cell phone? And it's like, in this day and age, A, you need one, and B, are they not allowed one little thing to make their life a little bit better? Screw you.
I know.
So my own soapbox for another time. Anyways, So yes, I was like, this guy, he just, it's like, oh, everyone else's problems aren't problems, but his are. Like, he understands. He's like, well, I do serious things, so I understand these are real problems. She also talks about how Margot could help set her up. You know, she's like, oh, she's in realty, you know, so if you need any help selling the house and stuff, like, she's offered. And he's like, oh, wow, that would be great. And so, yeah, they kind of just have this going on. And so she asked Benji, you know, like, do you want to come along? I'm like, not really doing anything exciting, but if you want to come. And she's like, as long as you ask your dad. And he said, okay. And so, of course, he's like, yeah, that's fine, which I love that. Well, I don't love. What absolutely breaks my heart in this particular scene is when Benji goes, he probably won't even notice. No. And I love that, like, Emily can't even correct him and be like, no, he would whatever. She just tells him, go ask him anyway. Like, yeah, you're right. He probably won't. But, like, you still should ask permission. And I'm like,
I know. He probably wouldn't. Yeah. Like, right before that, when she's thinking, when he's, like, talking, when her father is complaining, another line I outlined. What? Jesus Christ. What is going on with me today? Words, sentences are not working. This line here. I just stood there wondering if he expected me to reassure him about, of all things, his fatherhood skills. And it's right.
It's like, oh, my dude, that's a touchy subject for the two of us, considering that I She's like, I also cannot leave a glowing review of her being real honest about the situation.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sad. So yeah, he gets permission. And this, also, it's so sad that, like, literally she's like, I'm gonna, like, go to work, and like she's not doing anything exciting, and he's so excited to, like, to go do something. And he's like, I'm leaving, bye, yay, like, I can come. And it's like, oh, that's so sad.
It is sad.
She goes and visits Daisy, who is at work. She's working on her waxing. Thankfully, it appears in the scene, not a gyno appointment, as she likes to call them.
Yes, but for a little while, I was like, I don't think it's good for her to be in there during this kind of waxing. But then they said eyebrows, and I was like, oh
that's a lot
for you.
That is, but for a hot second, I was like, did she just, like, pop in there while she is, like, waxing somebody's lady bits? Because that is a bit intense, to be honest. I do love, though, that apparently Jean is a little hard of hearing. And so, of course, Emily has come to gossip with Daisy. And she's like, oh, I don't know if I should be, like, saying this in front of a customer. And she's like, it's fine. She can't hear anything. Like, spill whatever you need to spill. And I was like, oh, gosh. So she tells her basically about the breakup situation and then how she kissed a guy at Big Club, which I love that Daisy's like, wait, you kissed a guy you just met in Big Club? And she's like, no. Like, we like, that's not quite the situation. She's like, let me explain. You know, we were about the toaster ovens and Clyde. It's the whole thing. It's not like that. And it's like, it just seems like it was a little bit like that in a sense. So then she's like, then her mom comes in and she's like, what's up with the boy?
You bring this boy?
You bring this boy? And she's like, what? And she's like, the little boy outside, he's with you. And so she's like, oh, that's my brother. Because again, I also, for a hot second, I was like, the last scene we're in is she's saying that Benji is riding along. And then she goes to see Daisy. And someone is getting waxed, and I'm like, did everyone just pop on into this room? But thankfully, Benji's outside. It is just eyebrows. It's Thank not God. What I thought it was for a hot second. Let's see. So yeah, they just kind of have a little chit chat about what all of this means. And Daisy, of course, because again, if you say this to someone, and that all of this happened in the span of a single day, not even a full day yet. Like, it's not even, like, that late in the day. And so she's like, do you understand how insane you sound right now? And she's like, how could your whole life be so different in less than 24 hours? And so Emily kind of explains her theory about, like, that's how things happen around here. Nothing happens for ages and everything happens at once. And Daisy's like, not that fast. This is freakishly fast, everything that is happening. So, you know, they're kind of talking about that. So it comes out that Luke cheated on her. And so, you know, of course, Daisy is very sympathetic to that plight. She finishes with Jean's eyebrows, has to kind of yell at her to get on out of the room. And then essentially, Emmeline leaves to go to her next stop of the day, Benji following her right on out, and he is very fascinated by the nail salon portion of this, of the salon, which I just think is, again, it's so good. Like, he is just so happy to be out of the house. Like, everything is exciting to him. And so, like that he says, I'm just long for the ride right now. I'm hard to entertain. He brings that up again like he did earlier. And I was like, actually, no, you're so easy to entertain. Like, and no, like, no one, the fact that like his father says things like that to him, hard to keep entertained or anything like that, like ridiculous. Every child kind of is like every child kind of about you pull out one toy and then you see something else and then you want to read and then you want to do this. And like, trust me, anytime I've hung out with my nieces and nephews, you were going on to one thing before you barely set up the first thing. And you're like, okay, we are over that. They have short attention spans. They're children. It's just, it'd be like that.
Yeah.
Okay. It'd be like that. So then she says, before I cheer you up, she has picked out something for them to wear at the beach bash, which is a lovely, little callback, of course, to Along for the Ride. And again, we know that that is something that has been established in like the Colby universe. Mm-hmm. And she picked it up from this vintage store in Durham, which pleases me because that's literally where we met our queen. We did meet up at the Durham Public Library. Big shout out to the Durham Public Library. So we met our girl, Sarah Dessen, in Durham. So I was like, oh my God. Yeah, special place in my heart. And so she shows her, you know, the dresses or whatever. She explains them. Emmeline kind of says that they look like little Bo Peep would wear in Candyland. And she's like, none of this is supposed to cheer me up. And of course, our girl Daisy, who's like a fashionista, is like, well, obviously they're not going to look like this. Like you, there's a theme, the vision is candy. And she has like a whole thing. And so she's like, you just have no fashion forwardness whatsoever. And so of course, Benji is very confused by this. And Daisy's like, must be genetic. And so of course, Emmeline's like, you know, of course, like you're a genius. You know, I trust you, obviously, you know, and she's like, we do have a reputation to uphold. And she's like, well, really you, because all I have to do is like, you make the outfit for me and I wear it essentially to this. So yes, apparently Daisy and Emmeline, we learn here, are like notorious for their outfits at the beach bash. And this is a thing which does track considering Daisy's fashion forwardness, as they say.
Yes.
Yes, they wear, I guess, or they've won the best dressed couple award, which I did not know that was a thing at the beach bash. That is a new part of the beach bash lore, which I'm always here to learn more about. So I'm down with that.
Same. Yes. I know. I kind of hope we go in this book because that sounds cool. Sounds fun.
That does sound cool. I want to know how the outfits turned out and if they continue to win.
Yep. Me too. And who's going to be at the beach bash? Is Theo going to be at the beach bash?
Right. These are the things we need to know. Who's going to be at the beach bash? I'm singing things mood today, everyone. I apologize.
It's been a time here. It's
been a time. Indeed. Yes. Yes, 36 days to go to the beach bash, apparently. So it's you know, it's getting there. She apparently lives and dies by a calendar, which is, yeah. So then, yes, they head over back over to the office where she gets kind of scolded by Margot for not following the new TAL system, essentially. There's a whole new, you know, way of logging it, and she did not follow it. And so she's kind of being punished and has to like rearrange and fix her TAL mistakes, essentially. And she gets a phone call, no, voicemails from Theo, who is sounding like he is not doing a very good job of following this to tomorrow rule. Homeboy has left two voicemails. Okay. Like he's not playing it cool, to say the least. And of course, he's kind of playing it off that, well, some of it is actually kind of, I don't know, like work related in a sense. It sounds like Ivy really wants, you know, to have a direct contact with Clyde so that way she doesn't have to be go between and this, that, and the other thing. And so she, you know, finishes listening to these voicemails and then she you kind of like, she's kind of thinking out loud about the voicemails, and she kind of like freaks Benji out for a minute again, because he's so used to dealing with his dad, who is terrible and yells at him all the time. And she's like, no, not you. Like, it had nothing to do with you. Like, you're doing fine. And so she says that she says, he was such a kid, all impulse and emotion, but he was young. It made sense. He was so easy to read. I can only imagine how he take the news that his parents were divorcing whenever they did finally tell him. It broke my heart just thinking about it. And it's like, yeah, this whole situation for Benji just really breaks my heart.
Yeah, I know. I have like a bunch of sad faces drawn around this area.
Yes.
Because it's just like so clear that Benji feels like a hindrance, an annoyance, like, and that's awful. He's a 10.
I know. Oh, Benji. Benji, we love you. I will take you mini golfing and to the arcade and all of that whenever you want, little buddy. You were great.
He would be 21 now.
Yes. If he still wants to go to mini golf and.
Yes, 21.
And whatever. Is he 21? Oh, my God. I'm going to go buy him his first shot, you know?
Yes.
He deserves it.
Exactly.
Benji, you're so sweet little precious angel. All right. So, yes. So, this is where they get the refresher from Margo. Margo's having, like, none of this BS. She is like, I will be taken seriously, ding, dang it, and you will care about these towels. And Margo, bless her soul. So, then she gets another call from Theo. This is call number 3, ladies and gentlemen. She will end up being Chillo.
She's no longer being Chillo. She just got stuck in my computer cord, so I was scared that was going to end in a disaster, but it looks like it didn't, and she's walking towards her bed.
This is a plus. This is
okay.
A plus. So he calls and he basically is like, Ivy really feels like we need to have a direct contact and stress. I just feel like anytime Ivy is involved, it is just pure stress, essentially. And so he's like, I'm grateful for everything this morning. And he's like, not the kiss. I mean, that was great too. Don't get me wrong. I haven't been able to stop talking about it, even though I know we're not talking about it until tomorrow. And he is just like, again, nothing equal whatsoever. And he's like, but, you know, obviously, like, big thank you to introducing me to Clyde and getting the situation. He says finessing, which is such a, like, I feel like from, I don't know, a word of that time. Used to work with someone who used to say finesse stuff, and she drove me crazy.
Yes.
She'd be like, I'm going to go finesse this table, or let me finesse my way into a cut, or finesse the situation. Everything was finesse.
Everything was finesse.
Yes. So I was straight triggered, y'all, when I was reading this chapter. And I was like, ah, finessing. It really took me back. And it took me back in a bad way. So he's like, again, and then not playing a cool category. He's all like, but we're going to see each other tomorrow, right? Like, we agreed to this tomorrow plan, and we are going to be the end of this, like, chill period tomorrow. And she's like, yeah, I will be in touch on both counts. Like, calm your tits a little bit, my dude. Like, yes, I'm going to get you in touch with Clyde, like I said. And yes, we are going to discuss the kiss and the whatever this means for us. Like, everyone just chill. And so she This is when Benji scares her.
So she's like transporting the towels back and forth from the storage room to the office to the storage room. And then she hangs up the phone with Leo, turns around, and Luke is standing there.
That's right. Luke is there. And it's like, dun, dun, dun. She got in the, he does work there, but still it's like, ah. And of course, Benji is like super stoked to see him because he's like, that's my buddy Luke. And I don't know why that was my voice for Benji. I'm sorry, everyone.
I liked it.
And so he goes running over there. And of course, this is all very awkward. And they're explaining, I love how Benji's just like, there's a new system and we got a refresher and we're doing inventory and it's lots of towels. And he's very excited about it. And he's like, busy, gotta go, lots of things to move. And so Luke's all like, listen, you know, can we talk? And of course, Emmeline is like, you know, it's very fresh. The wound is fresh, folks. And she's like, real busy. Can't talk right now. And so this is where he basically, this is like such a boy move. Like, he was all like, I want to go do my own thing. And like, we're young. We're about to go be in college. We've only known each other. And then the second that he puts that out into the universe, the second that he says it, wants to take it back. Like, he basically is like, everything was a mistake. I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, I shouldn't have done the things with those girls. Like, can you maybe just give me a second chance? And like, obviously it's like the two of us, right? And like, we're great together. And like, oh my God. And of course our girl is like, my dude, no, like, I just kissed a boy in front of the toaster ovens, like, little too late. Like, you
a little
can't.
Too late.
Yeah, she's like, we just discussed this morning. Like, no takesy backsies. Like, I need to think on this. Like, she's like, you know what? Like, maybe you had some points. And again, she is a little bit like petty with him here. She's like, you didn't feel that way when you decided to go to Tally-ho. And I'm like, oh, go off, queen.
Tell so him.
We love that for her. Ooh, oh, my God. I must my headphones off. So he's, you know, he's all like, I love you. And she's like, can't, like, things have, like, no, like, we're gonna take this time, no. And she's like, you know, it isn't just this, and you know, like, there's other problems. And then of course, you know, she's like, it's not just that. And so then he's all like, oh my God, like, did you, you know, is it that guy, did you do what's, you know, whatever. And she points out to him, like, because he's like, what the hell, you went running to him the minute you left the diner. And she's like, hey, you walked out on me, remember? As far as I knew, you were gone for good. And it's like, yeah. And he's just like such a dick. He's like, which must have been so convenient. You could finally jump into bed with girl jeans without even having to feel bad about it. And I'm just like, what a dick. What a dick to say. So. Yeah.
Little baby back bitch.
And she's like, what are you saying? The minute our theory relationship hit a rough patch, you hooked up with someone else. And it's like, oh. Snap. She has a comeback, like, for each thing, and that is honestly chef's kiss. Fantastic. Again, I'm so proud of her that she was able to think of these things, was able to tell him these things, and like, didn't hold back, because honestly, it's what he deserves. And he kind of just, yeah, tail between his legs is like, well, I guess that's that. And it's like, yep, guess it is. She says here, breaking up earlier had been hard enough, doing it again, and this time because of me, was like torture. And it's like, it wasn't really because of you, just so we're clear. I didn't plan any of this. I said softly, it just happened. And yeah, so that's kind of how this chapter ends. Is it's kind of the nail. Breakfast ended, so like, you know, so many questions, kind of this weird wide open ending, because he was being very like wishy-washy, which again is such a guy thing to do. He like didn't want to come off like a dick, so it was all like, well, I made a mistake, well, but what's best for us? And it's like, no, you screwed up. And so this kind of finally, I think, nail in the coffin that they are so dunzo. We're dunzo. As our girl Kristen Kevlar used to say.
Oh, what a gem. What a classic television series. Absolutely incredible.
You have my heart forever. Also, everyone, don't think that we forgot about the Brink drink. We will when we watch Brink, because obviously we did not have any chaos this week.
Oh, yeah.
But we will. Michael Ann may have forgotten, but I just reminded her. We will watch Brink next chaos, I guess. And I'm deciding that right now. And we will do a Brink drink. Okay. Just want to throw that out there.
My mic disconnected, so I didn't hear much of that. But I did hear that you have not forgotten and you are creating a drink.
Yes. We will still be watching Brink, and we will still be creating a drink. And that rhymed. And yes. So just so everyone knows, these are the things that just pop in my head apparently in the middle of recording. Okay,
makes sense.
Any chapter 10 wrap up thoughts before we move to chapter 11, baby?
Oh gosh. No thoughts whatsoever in my head about anything at all, to be quite honest.
Yes.
Brain empty.
Brain empty. Brain is empty. I think, truly. This is, I'd like to watch two people just have a slow but short nervous breakdown. This is your ticket. This is your ticket to the show.
Yeah, actually, after the election, we're just going to take like 3 months off.
Yeah. You know, we'll be back once we've rejuvenated.
We'll be back.
It's fine. At some point, it's fine. We'll be like, usually we like take off a little time around Christmas. We're bumping it up this year to the first week of November. No particular reason.
Bye.
We'll see y'all in the year. Bye.
Wow. Great. Excellent. So chapter 11, they are doing the interview. Clyde ended up calling. Oh, I just went through like four different names in my head. Hannah, Leah, Emmeline. Emmeline. And he was like, let's do this. Basically, like, well, let's get this done. And so they're doing like a little, they're doing a warm up here, and Theo's, you know, very nervous, but he's like very, you know, excited. He's very like, I'm the guy here doing this. So he's like, can you blah, 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 blah. He said, so, okay. So, I guess first, maybe just say and spell your name. And Clyde said, you don't know who I am. And he was like, no, of course I do. This is just a vice mark frame. And then Ivy cuts him off and she's like, completely unnecessary right now. My apologies, Clyde. He's an intern and a novice. Let's just get started. And so Clyde looks at the camera and says, my name is Clyde Conaway, C-L-Y-D-E, C-O-N-A-Y, A-W-A-Y. Yeah. She still has Benj. He is... I don't know why I felt the need to nickname.
But I liked it.
Yeah, my husband does that, and I think it's just worn off on me. yeah, he's still there. He's eating a piece of pie. He's so cute. I'm glad he's getting himself a little sugar, little yum yum.
He deserves it.
He really does. So. Theo is really nervous, she can tell, and she's also really nervous. She's shoving Big Reds in her mouth. She is like, oh my God, what the hell? So Ivy starts. She is just like being the worst. she's like, let's begin with summarizing your personal details. Where were you born? And he was born in North Rotterdam.
Oh, come on. We got live news coming up from North Redman.
A new baby has been born. His name is Clyde. What will this mean?
On November 21st, 1968.
Oh, Jesus.
No one else can possibly find this as funny as the two of us.
No, I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
We find it so funny.
North Redman.
So everyone else is just gonna have to suffer through it because we enjoy it.
Oh, it's too funny. So then he's like talking about how his dad made cows. His dad kept cows for a dairy farm. His mom was a teacher.
I'd like a documentary on the man who made cows. That would be very impressive to me.
Who engineered cows? How'd we get here?
Which came first, the milk or the cow? Oh, Lordy. Oh.
There's also this like consistent theme throughout this book of like a clear divide between us and them. So in this situation, it's Clyde and Emmeline versus Theo and Ivy. It's kind of like they're the other. They're the big city folks. They like just don't get that small town life.
Yeah.
Also
insane to me, and this kind of comes up a couple times in this chapter, how much I don't know. Like, if you want to make a documentary about someone and you're obsessed with someone, like how little they know about him. It's like they like the idea of him and not really him. And I understand that they're, you can't find every single piece of information about someone and whatnot. And I also understand you saying like, oh, summarize your things. Again, the people watching the documentary aren't going to know all these things about him. So like she might know some of this, but it really does come off like when they're talking to him, like how little they care about like him. And it, like, I don't, you know, like it's just very much like, oh, we really respect this guy as an artist. And then they know nothing. Like, why would you not do any research about where you're going? If you're like, oh, Colby meant so much to him, we're making a whole documentary about it. Why wouldn't you look into it before you started like filming? I don't know. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's insane. I can't believe they didn't do it. Yeah, that's like basic shit. Yeah, so then she's like, so Sacred Heart, that's where you went to school. And he snorts and he's like, nobody from North Redomain went there except the Guadalera.
And she's, name is tricky. I'm like, how do you, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing
it. I'm sure somebody will let us know. Yeah. Willow just got really excited to sit down and Willow. That's my slipper. That's not a toy. Yeah, so he's like, except the Guadalera, right, Emmeline? Guadalera. That's what I'm going to say. And they're like, the who? And he's like, rich and super Catholic. They could afford the tuition and gas. And by he said that, I mean Emmeline did. And when Emmeline says this, Ivy's like, it would be best if we kept this conversation between ourselves. It's fine that you're observing, but, and Clyde cuts her off and he's like, hey, I asked her something. She was answering. Yeah. And she's like, I understand that, but in a documentary setup, we need the subject to have a relationship only with the camera, not people off screen.
Also, she's the only reason that you are interviewing him right now, ma'am. So show her some gratitude and respect.
Yeah. Put some respect on Emmeline's name, you dumb bitch. Yeah. Also,
or Emmeline's name, however you want to pronounce
however it. However you want to pronounce it. However, Emmeline lets you, Emmeline.
Yeah.
Also, I need to go rescue my slipper from the clutches of the demon. So please, I will be right back. That's really the thing, is like, she's trouble, but damn, she is so cute.
She's a cute little nugget. She truly is.
She's so cute. Where were we?
We were...
Oh, yes. Yes. Ivy was being pretentious and rude, and Clyde was like not having it. He's like, well, maybe she should be on screen. And Emmeline feels awkward. So she's like, actually, I need to step out anyway. So she goes outside. She has a text from Daisy that she answers. She's looking around to see if her father has shown up yet to pick up Benji. Then she kind of flashes back to when Ivy and Theo were setting up, her and Clyde. We're chatting and he's like, looks like they're moving in for the duration. And she's like, they didn't say how long it would take. You should, they'll talk to you as long as you're willing. And all he said is, huh. And then she's like, thank you for doing this. Like, you made Theo's life when you agreed to it. And he's like, Theo? And then she's like, my friend from the big club, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't really say much, but you kind of get a vibe. You definitely get a vibe from him. I don't know why he's doing this documentary, but it's definitely not. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I can't. We'll find out. I love that Benji ordered a razzleberry pie. Yeah. What even is that? Is that a real berry?
I think so. If not, I love it. Is it like a hybrid berry, like a raspberry and some kind of other berry, maybe? I don't know. But razzleberry is fantastic. I feel like I've heard of this, so I feel like it does exist. I'm going to now have to.
We have to look it up now.
100% look into this. Yeah. I love how sweet Clyde is with him. And that, yes, he gets a little sugar. He gets to enjoy a little life. We love that for him.
Razzleberry. Yes.
Wait, razzleberry pie is 100% a real thing.
Oh, really?
It is... Clyde 2 pie just is made with a mixture of raspberries and blackberries. So yes,
ooh,
it is like a hybrid kind of situation. And that does sound fantastic. I would like to partake in that. Thank you very much.
Yes, I have a pie pan or whatever the fuck. My mother-in-law gave it to me. I don't know if she like really has a lot of faith in me, but I've never made a pie in my life. But maybe I'll try. Maybe I'll make a razzleberry. Yep.
Yes. If you're ever going to try to make a pie, why not go big or go home? Try go razzleberry. Big or go home. Mm-hmm. 100%. I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. Yeah. So then she gets back to reality, the present. And she hears gravel crunching. So she looks up and it's her dad. And she's like, what are you doing here? And he says, you know, I wanted to ask you the same thing. She's like, they're shooting a documentary. And he's like, who is? And he's like, they're making a movie about Clyde. And she's like, yeah, he was like a big deal in New York. And she's like, he's like, oh, yeah, I vaguely remember hearing something about that. So really, like, this is a small town of small town people. They're not, he did probably doesn't even talk about it because he's like, this is my small town. But then at that moment, Joel, aka her bio dad, shows up and her dad is confused and it's kind of like really awkward with them all standing there. And she's like, this reminds me of years ago when we went to shrimp boats and it was me and my mom and my dad on one side of the booth and my father, Leah, and Benji on the other. Us and them again. It's like two sides of the coin here she's struggling with.
Yeah.
They exchange pleasantries and he's like, where's your brother? And she says, oh, eating pie. And he's like, for dinner? He's pissed. Like, God forbid your kid feel any ounce of happiness, joy at all. And this is funny because Clyde walks out and he's like, your daughter got me into this documentary thing. Did she tell you? And he's talking to Robert.
Right.
And Joel responds and says, she did not. My father said, finally, is it the Ivy Mendelsohn project? And Clyde is extremely confused. And Rob is like, this is Joel, Emmeline's father. And he's like, oh, geez, sorry. And she's like, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Move on. Ivy's like getting impatient. She's like, Clyde, are you coming back in here? It's also really interesting to me that they were so desperate. They're so desperate to make this documentary about this, you know, artist that she admires, but she's like so rude to him and has no patience for him at all. And it's like, this is who the documentary is about. So
I cannot believe the way she acted toward him in this scene. I was like, this is all you've wanted is to be able to get a chance to talk to him. And then you finally do. And like, if I was him, I'd be like, good riddance. I would like you to never come back. And yeah, I'm like, what a bold move. Like you're like, just were able to crack into, you know, basically the safe to get in to talk to him. And that was only through Emmeline. And then you have the audacity to be rude to her and then rude to the person you've been trying to interview. Like just like, oh, time's wasting. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Do we have to talk about this drywall right now? And it's like, yeah, he's doing you a favor. Do you not see how this works? Like,
right.
Mind-boggling.
It's crazy. She's just so rude. And so after she interrupts him, Clyde's like, she's really something, huh? And he means that as like, she's really something, huh? And Joel responds, exceptionally talented. I saw Cooper's Way at the Tribeca Festival, just riveting. And they just kind of stare at him like, what the fuck?
You're like, okay.
So then they go inside to check out the ceiling. Clyde calls Theo her boyfriend and father is like, what? And dad is also like, what? And then they get Benji and he starts telling his dad all about his day, all about his towel situation. He's so excited. It's adorable. she leaves him to do that, and she walks over to Theo just to, like, check on him, like, how do you think it's going, like, blah, blah, blah. At least he's, like, cooperating, and he's, like, kind of parroting back whatever Ivy's saying, which is, like, all these interruptions, it makes it hard to get a good rhythm, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, I'll be out of your hair soon. And he's like, all of you? Because I was thinking, you know, that maybe we could. So he's trying to, like, break the demarcation again. He's like, let's just hang out tonight. Like, tomorrow starts tonight. And she's like, I don't know, dude. But they're kind of, like, flirty back and forth. And she's like, okay, maybe you will see me tonight. Wink. And that was an implied wink that I added into the story.
Yeah, she did not actually wink, but it was 100% implied.
Yes.
It's the vibes of the scene for sure.
It's the vibes. So Ivy comes over and she's like, you better be all set and ready to go if you're over here chatting, which that gave me a flashback PTSD because y'all in the restaurant industry, okay, they say that shit to you constantly. Mm-hmm. You have just been running around the entire restaurant for 6 hours and it finally dies down. You get a break. What are you guys doing? Why aren't you cleaning? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And by the way, if there's any servers out there listening, it's illegal to make you do non-tipped work like over a certain threshold.
Certain percentage, yeah.
So just
against the law. Come at your managers with that. Be like, I do actually have time to lean because it's illegal for you to make me clean.
Right. Like, I'll do my side work, but I am not at rest. They made us clean table legs and chairs. Like, we were on our hands and knees wiping down table legs and chair legs.
Don't like that. Don't like that one bit. Mm-mm.
I hated that. That made me so angry because it was like, you're just giving us demeaning tasks to do. Like, we have a cleaning crew that comes in at night and cleans everything. Yeah. Like, why are you making me do this in front of guests? Like, it's a power move and it's fucking weird. Mm-hmm. How did I get on this conversation? I don't even know.
Everything better be right if you, yeah. It's basically like, if you have a boss, they assume that you're not a human being. And that's how Ivy is kind of treating Theo right now. Like, oh, you got time to chat? Well, everything better being set up. I'm good to go. Whatever. Like, how dare you be a human with feelings for 5 minutes?
Yeah. And I really like this part too, because Ivy's being like a little bitch. And she's like, she said, like, oh, Clyde's not exactly running on a schedule. And Ivy said, the roof takes precedence. And Emmeline coming in again with those one-liners, she says, it's actually a ceiling. Incredible. Incredible.
Slow clap it out for that one. Oh, it's so
slow
good.
Clap it for that.
100%.
I love it. I love it. So then Dad is just, so then they walk out. She walks out with her dad and says goodbye to Joel and Benji. And did you know that the two frontmen for Good Charlotte are twin brothers and their names are Joel and Benji? And sure that know. Just came to me. And
I now need to know if Sarah Destin did this on purpose. Is she a Good Charlotte fan? I don't know. Maybe.
Are you a big Good Charlotte fan?
Like, tell us more. We know her thoughts and feelings about Tom Petty, but now we need to know her thoughts and feelings about Good Charlotte. Because what are the odds that it's Joel and Benji? That is honestly very funny.
That is so funny. They were like literally my favorite band of all time. Wilson! She's like, oh, also at one point, I think this already happened. But Dad is like, I heard you had like a long day or something. I heard you had a rough day. Like, you deserve to get out early. And she's like, oh yeah, Margot is awful. And he's like, Margot? And she's like, isn't that what you're talking about? And it's like, he's probably talking about your breakup with your 3-year long boyfriend. But that is very telling.
Yes.
But now he's like, so Luke's your boyfriend? I mean, Theo's your boyfriend? She's like, no. And then here is a line that was said that will stress me out for the remainder of this chapter. He says, "You headed home soon? Your mom's worried about you." And she says, "It's my next stop." Spoiler alert, it wasn't even close to her next stop.
It is not. It is not her next stop.
It is not her next stop.
Not remotely.
So, yeah, she's like, "I plan to go right home, but I saw the boardwalk in the distance." And she has this, like, little ritual to clear her mind and think.
I love this. I wish I had this.
I love this. There's just, like, a little shitty, like, amusement park on the boardwalk. And – which I don't think we've ever heard of this one. Surfside.
No, we have not. As far as I know.
But – yeah, she's like, "This is a basic ass place. It's like, it's got really nothing, but it does have a thingy, mabobber,
a Ferris wheel,
a Ferris wheel." Thank you. Mm-hmm. It has a Ferris wheel. It
has one of them thingamabobbers.
Oh, geez. So that's her ritual. She goes up to the top of the carousel. Nope. The Ferris wheel, and looks out over Colby, just like sees that there's so much more out there than Colby, yeah. And it kind of like resets her mind.
She does a little, "I want to be where the people are."
Yes. Yes.
Does a little "I want" song, you know, it's a moment that she has. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Then we get the three dots. We're fast forwarding. Did she go home? Does she go home?
Everybody? Does she go home after the Ferris wheel before she goes over to?
No,
because she doesn't say like, "Oh yeah, after I stopped home, I went over to Sand Dollars." Like, I think she just goes straight to Theo's house.
She goes straight to that boy's house. You know she does, and you know her mother is just sitting at home, worried sick.
Right, she is worried.
She better have checked in.
Please check in with your mother. I'm not often am I a fan of a destined mother, but this is one that I like. And you were worrying her. So please check in with her. Thank you so much.
Right. I did not have this much freedom as a teenager. Not even an ounce of this much
freedom. This girl is just like bebopping around. Colby, like it's bopping. Like nothing. And there was locations had to be stated. Text messages when you got in safely. You had strict, you know, got to be home by this time. Such and such. Also, I can't stress enough how much of a goody two shoes I am. I was that person who followed your license curfew and was certain I'd be put in jail if I drove past that, which I wouldn't have been, obviously. But in my mind, I would have. So yeah, I wouldn't just be bebopping around going to a boy's house at almost midnight without having telling my mother. No, definitely not.
No comment. Okay. So
by law, you do not have to incriminate yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not to admit to shit. I'm 32 exactly. years old. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Come at me, bruh.
But she goes to Theo's and he's in the dark. He's editing the video. Okay, before we get into the scene, I need to know, like, how are you feeling about Theo right now?
How am I feeling about Theo right now? A little uncertain. Like, I like him. I do. He does give off a little bit of little weirdo vibes, but he also gives off a little bit of like, which I'm not gonna like fault him for, like when someone really wants something and they really want to impress their job or do whatever, but he's giving off like a little bit too much like, "I will do whatever I can to impress my boss. I will do whatever I can to like get ahead," kind of vibes, which again, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But just considering that he is trying to get with our girl.
Yes.
And also our girl happens to have a connection to Colby. It just worries me a little mm-hmm. bit, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are my thoughts and feelings. What are yours?
I hate to say this, I really do, but I'm getting the ick. I'm getting the ick from Theo. He's definitely not even in my top five of
oh yeah
like love interests?
Yes, I would say he's definitely no like Dexter, Wes, Owen, like anyone. Like he's not. Yeah, like I just feel like usually there's like they have some bands. Don't get me wrong. They do have some of the Destin bands, but just like something from the get-go has been off about him, but I can't really place my finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just feel it's a little, and like, I don't think that Sarah's doing that. She wouldn't do that. Like, you know, like it's done purposely. I think mm-hmm. that we are supposed to feel a little bit off toward him. And I don't know if by the end of the book, because again, I legitimately don't know if I ever finished this book. Like I remember picking it up. I remember reading it at the beach in North Carolina the summer that it came out. And I don't honestly remember if I finished it. And I cannot recall anything from this book, except for I remember that the college thing. I remember that her father promised to pay for her college or whatever. And then other than that, I've blanked out everything else in this book because I just never revisited it. So I truly do not know how this ends. But I'm like, is this going to end where we realize that this off feeling that we're having toward him is correct? Or is it just like, he's not good at expressing his emotions and there's a or is it going to end with, yeah, they're at the beach bash and he's like the love of her life or, you know, and they're riding off into the sunset. I'm really not sure, but I'm just like, Sarah Destin is too good of a writer for us to, if we're not fully in love with the love interest of a novel, like there is a reason, I think. So I'm leaning toward, I don't think that, something is off. And I think that it's purposely done. Yes. That is what I'm leaning toward.
Willow's literally just sitting here staring at me, not blinking. Yeah, it's like, you know, mixed with the fact that she like just ended a very long relationship. And then there is like in these chapters in particular, too, a lot of the characters are kind of being like, you guys really probably shouldn't date. Like there's.
Yes. Yeah. The fact that people that we do know and trust, like we are obviously meant to like her dad. Character, which I do. We already have an established relationship with Clyde. I like Clyde. And yeah. Clyde's like, I don't know about this. Like, there's enough people being like, I don't know about this. And I'm like, that can't be for no reason. So I feel like, yeah, something fishy's going on, but I just can't quite put my finger on it yet. Because it's like, in this upcoming scene, like, they are cute. Like, it's cute, but it's just, like, I'm like, something about him's like too pushy, I guess. Like, dude, she yes. literally did just like get out. Like, this is like, let her have her moment. And he's all like, oh, it's almost midnight. And, you know, oh, if this was Australia, we'd be engaged and like whatever. And it's like, oh, some of it is like cute, funny, haha. And then some of it is like crossing a line for me personally.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's part of it too, is he's extremely pushy. Like, she like very clearly was like, I want to wait until tomorrow. And then like, he got her to this point and they end up kissing like right after midnight. And I'm just like, I don't know. And then like, I don't like the way he's kind of always excusing Ivy's behavior either. Like, if Ivy's not around, like you can be like, I'm so sorry for the way she talks to you. But like, he hasn't done that. He just like defended her. So yeah. And she sucks. I mean, she's awful.
And she just, like, sucks. And and it's, like, no one – you can, like, want to get ahead and impress your boss, but also realize that your boss is, like, a terrible person and is a terrible person to someone who you supposedly, you know, like. So, yeah, that rubs me the wrong way, that he's always just, like, well, it's allowed because she's, like, a brilliant genius. And, like, seriously, have y'all seen Cooper's Way? Like, it just – it's, you know – and it's like, no, yeah. Like you can be a good documentarian and also still be a decent human being. And I just don't like that he doesn't like see faults in her.
Yeah, it's really gross. But yeah, they do this little cute thing where they're like, let's chat and be platonic friends until midnight. And it's like, I don't know. I just like, it just didn't excite me like it normally does.
Yeah.
They had this like cute banter, favorite SAT word, what's your favorite condiment, like that kind of thing. That was cute. That's very Destin. But still, it was like, I just wasn't sold on it, to be honest. But midnight hits, he pulls her onto his lap, they start making out, and then Ivy throws all the lights on and she's like, I thought, oh, she said, Theo, hello, I need some help here. And of course, Theo drops everything and goes to her side. And basically what she has is like a big box of books. Wow, that's hard to say.
That's a tongue twister.
And it's all these like really old books about like the history of Colby. There's one called, you have it on your thing, Our Fair Town.
Fair Town. And a local's remembrance.
Yes. And it's all these books, and she's like, basically like, Clyde lent me all of his books because he feels like I really need to understand Colby to really get this documentary right, which is correct. She should have done research on Colby. It doesn't make any sense, like, especially because narratively, like, he was born here, did all that weird shit in New York, came back, and is still here. It's like, don't you want to know a little bit more about like what's the town got going on? Like, anyway. So she like, Emmeline picks up the books and she's like looking through them and she's like, oh, these are Clyde's books. And she's like, yes, he has a ton of books. And she's like, oh, okay. And,
can I just say, Clyde is quickly becoming one of my favorite characters.
Yes.
Like, he is fantastic.
He's fantastic. She takes another book. She's like, I'm going to get one book. She's like, I'm going to go study. And then she's like, Theo, the rest is for you. So get moving. So he drops everything. He clears the table. He starts studying. And Emmeline's like, why don't you just like go to sleep? Like, do you really need to work this much? Like, this is kind of crazy. And he's like, well, I have to, blah, blah, blah. We have to get it done, like, whatever. And so she leaves. She's like, all right, bye. And when she's walking out to her car, Ivy yells down at her and is like, you're leaving? And she's like, Theo's got a lot of work to do. And she's like, so you're, like, together now? And she's like, oh, we're just hanging out. And she's like, not sure that's the best idea. And Emmeline like claps back immediately. She's like, meaning what? You're the boss of his personal life now? And she's like, just making an observation. And she's like, well, I'm not on your clock, so you can save your breath. And I love that. Yes. Because I do think Heidi is being like, Heidi, why would I?
Heidi would never. Heidi would never.
Ever make that mistake. Ivy is like, obviously, like, gross, like, little small town, dumb idiot, backwards ass motherfucker. I'm from New York. You're gross. And so she starts driving home. So, again, she is on her way home. And let me remind you all, it is past
next
midnight.
Next stop. It was supposed to be our next stop.
Past midnight at this point.
Midnight. That was probably what? When they're at the laundry, at probably like 5 o'clock. You know, it was definitely like evening, early evening, I would say. Late afternoon, early evening. And it was like, oh, it's my next stop. And now it's like probably 1 a.m. that she's getting home, but you know.
And she doesn't go home right here. She goes to the freaking washroom and hangs out with Clyde. And so she goes to Clyde and he's like, what'd you do with those New York friends of yours? And she said, the better question is, what did you do? And then we find out that these are not Clyde's books. These are a bunch of books he bought from the library for clearance, on clearance. They're trying to make room for new books and make money so that they can get the new books. And he's like, okay, fine. It's sort of mean, but she had so little respect for this place and everyone in it. I had to do something. And she said, so you attacked with Irma Jean Wrinkles, which I wrote LOL next to. And he's like, or I encouraged her to educate herself and provide the means for doing so. And she's just like, oh my God, good night, Clyde. Like, you're crazy. And he's like, you don't have to be angry. It wasn't, I wasn't targeted at your boyfriend. And he's like, yeah, then this is where he's like, well, I can't say I'm not relieved about him not being her boyfriend. She's like, what do you mean? You just said he seems decent. And she's like, he says, like, it does, but you know how the drill, these things never end well. And basically he's meaning, like, when rich kids come down to Colby for the summer and, you know, quote unquote, fall in love with a local gal and then bails and just leaves and goes back to his real life.
Like what happened to your mother?
Exactly.
Just saying.
Exactly. But she kind of parrots back a line he said earlier during the interview with Ivy. And she's like, well, somebody's got to be the first to buck the trend, right? Might as well be me. And he's like, well, good point. And then I have to assume after this, she finally goes home.
I hope so.
Good God.
And this next chapter, if her mom isn't like, you gave me a heart attack, you know? I swear, I was like, I'm stressed out about the fact that you have not gone home, and
yes,
you clearly are not. But yes, I love Clyde's little move, and also it's like, if you're gonna show me that much disrespect and show here that much disrespect, which clearly Clyde loves, then yeah, I'm gonna show you some education about it, and I'm gonna force y'all to read these books. And I absolutely love that for him. Clyde is absolutely slaying the game. Jury is still out on Theo. We're uncertain how we feel. It's like, there's good, there's bad. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see.
I love Clyde. I love Benji. I love our girl, obviously. Love Morris.
Daisy.
I love Daisy. These are the people I'm rooting for. I love her family. Like, honestly, this family is great. Like, I love her crazy sisters. I love her mom. I love her dad. So, yeah, love to all of them. And that is finally The Moon and More. I feel like we have promised these two chapters like two different times.
Several times.
Finally gave it to you, baby.
Here we are.
So that was The Moon and More, chapters 10 and 11. Good stuff. I feel like we're about the halfway-ish mark. We're actually a little over that halfway mark. So very excited to see where we go from here. We will obviously be back with chapters 12 and 13 and Brink next week.
Mm-hmm.
If all goes according to plan, that will be the plan. I don't know. Other than that, come back and hang out with us. Come chat with us in the Discord if that's your thing. If you want to come join us on Patreon, join us on Discord. Like this if you're watching on YouTube. Leave a review if you are listening on like Apple.
Anywhere.
Apple? Anywhere. Apple? Apple? Not the Red Main. Okay.
No, Red Main.
Yes. Red Main. Yeah.
Like us. Tell your friends. Yeah. Rate it. Comment it. And take care of yourselves. We love you.
Seriously, take care of yourselves, y'all. It's crazy times out there. But yes, much love. I'm going to try to do the Gen Z heart now that y'all can see us. Oh, look, I'm getting better at it.
You did.
I'm trying, y'all. I'm really trying. Okay. Millennial heart. Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.